Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Michael Anthony Ingram. This is Quintessential Listening Poetry. Our very special guest tonight is Aaron R. Aaron R.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
I'm quite well. I'm quite well. And yourself?
Pretty good, man. Thank you.
Good. I'd like to share some information about you, Aaron, so that people know that you're an up-and-coming poet, and I'm really, really pleased that you're here. Aaron R., also known as Aaron R. the Poet, writes poetry and also produces and directs short poem films. Poetry is a way to express, he believes, real-life issues and situations in a way that all people can relate to using a myriad of topics. Aaron R. was the winner of the first-ever World Food Day Poetry Competition, organized by Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO. Aaron R. has also had poems featured in social books of social justice. Aaron R. also has a book, Poetically Correct, Volume 1, available on Amazon.com and iTunes. Aaron can be reached at AaronRPoems.com. Aaron, as you can tell, I'm very excited to have you here.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to be here, too. It's such an honor and blessing to be on your show, man, so thank you so much again.
All right. What I'd like to do, Aaron, is to read one of your works, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'd like to read the poem Mirror, Mirror.
Awesome.
All right. And this is from your collection, Poetically Correct, Volume 2.
Yep, Volume 2, unreleased.
Unreleased. All right. Mirror, Mirror. What happens when your vision isn't looking any clearer? They say things look clear after you see them in your rearview mirror. But that doesn't seem right. I mean, why do you have to wait until you pass something to figure out if it's right? I looked in the rearview mirror at my past life. Realizations that didn't last. Situations that I let pass. I looked and saw me in a younger frame. Funny how time changes. I saw me in that different lane, saw me doing a whole lot of things. As much as I don't like to admit it, some of it's true. Same things I did back then are the same things that I still do, just in a better, more mature version. But maturity is subjective because other people may not see the same version. Stranger things have happened. We've got a savior from a virgin. Mirror, mirror, what happens when your vision isn't looking any clearer? They say things look clearer after you see them in your rearview mirror. Objects seem closer than they appear. It's clear that the objective was to make sure that we were never here. Call it settling down. Call it slowing up. Call it maturity. Call it growing up. Things that used to excite me now sometimes bore me. A wise man once told me that if you don't start really living, that you don't start really living until you're 40. Always thought that was the twilight years. Thinking back on the days of glory, street knowledge, best ideas came to mind after a couple of 40. Just because you lose doesn't mean that you've lost. Just because you brought, just because you bought it doesn't mean you can't afford what it costs. Just because you're in charge, it doesn't mean that you're the boss. Just because you've never been there doesn't mean that you lost. There always seems to be a time for second guessing, and there seems to always be a mirror around to examine your reflection. Mirror, mirror. Thank you. So that's your work.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You read that pretty good, Michael.
Thank you for a first-time read-through.
Yeah, man.
Tell me about that piece.
So Mirror, Mirror is kind of, you know, as a writer and poet, I oftentimes don't really write about myself, which I think is surprising to a lot of people. And so in each one of my books, like Poetically Correct One, one of the poems I'm going to share in a little bit, the meaning, was a personal one. And Mirror, Mirror for Poetically Correct Volume 2 is also a personal one. So that was just me just kind of reflecting on life now and life back then and how things have changed and how I've just matured and kind of seeing some of the same things just from a different perspective and a different angle. So that was kind of the message behind that one.
All right. Why do you think that poetry is important?
I think poetry is important because it just gives you a better way to express yourself and for other ways to, and for other people to understand different situations. So I think with poetry, it can just be, you know, artistic and a different way of expression and forming different things. And, you know, sometimes people can't understand certain situations the way it's perceived or painted in one way. And I think through poetry, you just have so many different avenues to just bring different things to light, whether it be, you know, situations like hunger or whether it be personal situations or struggles that a lot of people are going through. So it's just an easier way, I think, to get people to relate, you know?
Right. Well, what sparked your initial interest in poetry?
You know, I think for me, it was just kind of something that was natural. I have an older brother, and I think growing up, my brother was always into, like, rapping and coming up with rhymes and stuff, so being younger, I just always emulated him. So I think that's kind of how it started, just being like a little kid who was just messing around with little rap words and stuff. And I think as I got older, it just kind of evolved from little rap words to putting it together to a more poetic format. And so that's really what started. It almost just seemed like it was just a natural evolution for me, like I wasn't really getting into anything new.
Okay. So you think that you were meant to be a poet?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I definitely think so.
All right.
I hope
so. Well, if that's the case, let's start by your sharing some of your work. Everyone, Aaron R.
All right. I'm going to do, this one is The Meaning, and it's from Poetically Correct Volume 1. I'm only human and my emotions change. People's perceptions of me and mine haven't always been the same. I've never quite been a type to automatically conform to the norm, because being like everybody else, well, that's not how creativity is formed. And I wasn't formed to be like the norm. And out of that shell, my reality was born. That I have words to give, and I do believe that you too have just as good as a gift as me. And two is better than one, so imagine what we could be collectively, the more the better, respectively. Large groups could change this nation's trajectory. Some people do this for show. This isn't part of that act. You'll be remembered for how you treat others and not for your alternative facts. The end.
All right. Where do you write, Aaron?
Anywhere. Anywhere that I can, anywhere that I can get my hand on a pen and a pad. Now it's a lot easier with these smartphones, so
yeah.
you know, I can be in the car driving and something can hit me and I can pull over and just type it in right then and there. So I don't have a particular place that I have to write or that I do write.
Well, what conditions help you write with the writing process? What conditions? How do you need to be?
I think usually music helps. So if there's like a good song that I hear that kind of just jogs my thoughts, that's always a good one. So really, if I just sit down and listen to a lot of different music, that usually can spark something to come to mind to write about.
All right. Well, please favor us again.
Okay. I'm going to do another one called This Life I Lead. This one's going to be out of Poetically Correct Volume 2, which is unreleased also.
All right.
Discovering how on the inside I need to do much better. I've been spending too much time outside trying to put my appearance together. Putting the pen to paper to rhyme words, it was always natural and interesting. I was a rhyme nerd. Didn't think my words would ever make much sense. Just because you know a bunch of verbs that rhyme doesn't mean that they make sense. Just because you know a bunch of words that sound profound, that doesn't mean people will relate to you when you come around. And that's what I found. Just because they're down in the moment doesn't mean they'll always be down. What are you saying? What is the purpose? My itchy writing hand moving back and forth across the paper like I'm nervous. Some people comfortable in chaos. They fuss on purpose. Learn to stand up for yourself more. Don't let them think that you worth less. It's funny how if you aren't staying, they consider you worth less. Food for thought. Funny how if you aren't paying, they'll leave you deserted. It's interesting how things over a time span eventually pan out. Like, you could give 9 times out of 10, and that one time you don't, expect people to hold their hands out. People in awe without understanding the meaning. Yeah, it all sounds good, but what's the point if you don't understand the meaning? Coincidences don't exist. There's a reason we're in this moment right now, you listening to me speaking. But it's up to you to find the meaning, the end.
Tell me about that piece.
The meaning, that's one of my favorite poems. It kind of touches on what I was saying earlier about how just growing up, rhyming words. So, you know, putting a pen to paper to rhyme words, it was always natural and interesting. I was a rhyme nerd. That was kind of just how I grew up with rhyming. And then also it's kind of like, sometimes I feel like with people with poetry and stuff, they just like to say a whole bunch of things, you know, and no disrespect to anybody, but I think sometimes people just like to say a whole bunch of things that don't really make sense, and it just sounds clever or profound, and
all right,
people just tend to clap or nod just because it sounds like something they should. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really have a meaning to it. So this is kind of like, you know, making sure that you listen to what people are saying and what's the purpose of it. And just because it rhymes doesn't mean that it makes sense type of thing.
Right. I understand that. Please share another. Please share another.
So this one, I'm just going to do the one, Hunger Pains, that was in the World Hunger Competition that won the first place prize. So this
All
is
right.
Hunger Pains. In a world where we're concerned about the economy and marketing numbers, how do we have people out here starving and dealing with hunger? We're too far developed as nations to be facing this situation. So we have a plan, and 2030 is our destination. I'm not talking about decreasing. I'm talking about elimination, so we don't have anybody, any nation. Speaking of nations, it's kind of strange to me. that in this land of plenty, there's still people out here on the streets without food to eat. We pay millions of dollars for entertainment, but that's another topic. It's people out here starving, and we need to do something to stop it. We spend money on wars, but we should be at war with not feeding the poor. This is a situation we can no longer ignore. I mean, it's families with children walking around with their stomachs growling and sore. We owe it to each other to do so much more, so let's depend on one another and help each other. In order to stop world hunger, the world's going to need each other. So my challenge to you and my challenge to me, do something small or large or independently, because together, everyone achieves more. When we unite as a team, world hunger can be no more, and we can achieve this dream. That sounds like a plan that's worth it to me. So let's all embark on this journey and do little by little, day by day, until 2030, and stop the hunger pains that plague our society. Thank you.
All right. That's very powerful.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, tell us more about the competition, the World Hunger Competition.
Wow. I mean, that was an amazing experience, and winning first place was just a shock. I actually had a coworker who told me, she sent me the website about this whole competition, and at first, I was kind of like, I don't have any pieces about hunger, so I can't really do anything. And then she was like, no, just pay attention to it. And so I just kind of sat down and thought about it. And that's always been one of the situations in society that's been near to my heart. And it, some other situations, too, that I'll allude to in some other pieces. But hunger is definitely one of them. So, you know, I just pretty much came up with something. I think I wrote two pieces for it, and Hunger Pains was, I think, the second one I wrote, because in the competition you could, I think, put in two or more pieces. And they just had some stipulations about what the poem had to be like, and I just submitted it. And next thing I know, Hiram Lauru, who I know you've had on the show, who's a very prominent poet around, shout out to him, too, for all the support. He just called me and said I won, and at first I thought it was a little joke. but yeah, it was just amazing. The FAO is just a wonderful, classy, top level organization. And I'm just humbled and honored that I was selected to win.
Right. What do you think you learned about yourself from participating in that particular competition?
I think one of the things that I learned about myself was just that I think that my poetry is decent, you know, funny to say. I think maybe other artists feel like this, maybe not, but I know for me sometimes you kind of get into this period, and especially now that I'm trying to convert some of my poems into short movies or short films, you get into this period where you wonder, like, is anybody really reading my poems, or does anybody think my poetry is good, or, you know, are the people in my circle just saying it just because they're in my circle?
Right.
And you don't really ever know. And so when I won this, and to see all of the other esteemed people who were also in the competition, you know, people who've been doing poetry for years and years, I think that was one of the major things that just kind of let me know I was on track and doing something right, which was just amazing.
Well, I believe you're doing something right too, and congratulations.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Let's take a brief break, and we'll be right back with Quintessential Listening Poetry. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and this is Quintessential Listening Poetry. The call-in number is 646-787-1631. We're here with Aaron R., an up-and-coming poet. I don't know what to say, Aaron. I think that the future is bright for you in terms of your craft. And actually, we've got a number of people online who are callers. I'm going to bring the first person in. Area code 703-328. You're on the air. Are you there, caller? Let's try another person then.
Sorry, people may be shy. They just might want to listen.
Might want to
people
listen.
Ready, but people, that's good. They're taking it easy on me, maybe, Michael.
I think so. Let's try one more. All right. Area code 757-715. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
I am wonderful.
All right. Do you have a question for Aaron?
Actually, I am Aaron's aunt.
Okay. All right.
Aaron, this is Aunt Phyllis.
Aunt Phyllis, what's going on? Family
hey.
Love in the house.
Yes.
Thank you for listening in.
I'm so proud of you, and I'm really enjoying the poetry.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Trying to make all of y'all proud.
Phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. All right.
Yes.
All right.
So proud of them.
All right.
But I'm really enjoying listening in.
Oh, great. Thank you for calling in. All right.
You're welcome.
All right. All right,
that's
let's
great,
try another
man.
One, Aaron. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, area code 757-380. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? I think they just want to listen as well.
Yeah, probably
right.
So.
Okay, let's go
right.
With a local
that's
number.
Cool.
A local number. All right. Eric,
I don't know, people were expecting to ask questions.
That's okay. 202-815, you're on the air. Okay. Well, let's try one more. All right. Let's get area code 708. Okay. Area code 708-551, you're on the air. I think they want to listen as well. So what we're going to do
all
is
right.
Let them listen. We're going to let them listen.
Hello?
So, yes.
Hello.
How are you? Hello.
I'm doing good.
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of Aaron's.
All right.
Hey, Aaron.
Do you
how you
question?
Doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much.
Do you have a question for Aaron as well?
I really don't have a question. I just been following Aaron, and I think he's doing an awesome job.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Aaron is a good man. He's a good man.
I see good things coming his way.
Yes, so do I.
Hopefully
so. All right. Well, thank
you
for calling.
Keep up the good work, Aaron.
Awesome. Thank you. Keep listening.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
And we got one more here. Area code 540. Area code 540, you're on the air. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Aaron. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question for you.
All right.
Take it easy on me.
So my question is, why do you write?
Good question.
This one I said, take it easy on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I write for a lot of reasons. One of them is to tell a story. A lot of times I pick up on a lot of things, and I just feel like it's easier to let things out that other people are going through so that they don't feel like they're the only ones going through it. And then the other reason is for personal stuff. Like for me, it helps me let things out. And it doesn't even have to be something I'm going through personally. It can be something that I've seen or something that I've known someone else has experienced. And I think in just writing it, my overall hope is that somebody can attach to it or connect to it and just feel like there's somebody out there that can share their experience or their story.
Nice. Thank you, caller.
Did I pass the question?
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, caller. Let's turn to Aaron again to share some of his work. All
guess
right.
We got to give the people what they want, huh?
That's exactly right.
So earlier I spoke about a few poems that's kind of close and dear to heart. And so the other one I want to share is United Stand. I had a real good friend, Chad R., do this poem with me, too. And this is one of the ones that I turned into a poem movie. So everybody out there listening, you can see all of my poem movies online at my website, aaronrpoems.com. So this one is called United Stand, and this is also in Poetically Correct Volume 1. America! The land of the free, but ain't nothing free in this land that they claim is for me, where right outside of these D.C. streets, where the president has 132 rooms, homeless families barely have a bench to sleep. And instead of praying for the meek, we're out here trying to put Al-Qaeda and ISIS to sleep. Well, maybe if terrorists threatened poverty, it'd be a safer nation and we'd have safer streets. And if the majority cared about people who look like minorities, we'd have true peace and prosperity. It'd be a city where hoodies could be worn, towns could avoid being scorned. Is it the next superstar, or is it the next dead teenager being born? We in the world where we all have talent, the passion and determination to be successful just don't match. Avoid the easy button and the easy way out. Build some character. Take some time to figure it out. Speak on all these things that people don't want to speak about, because it's few people you can trust in a world full of disgust when trying to help others means you could forever be judged, negative in human eyes, but there's a spiritual judge. Kaepernick had to take a knee for people to stand up, and people still trying to knock him down instead of picking him back up. Ironic how not standing at all made him tall. Back against the wall, he's advocated for them all, and it's surreal. We at war with other countries, but our own country is mad because NFL players won't kneel. They want us to stand, y'all, but how do we stand for a country that won't stand for our people at all? So if it's divided we stand, then it's united we fall. The end.
It sounds like you've had opportunities to be on stage in terms of open mics, am I correct?
Yeah. So I'm
what do you like about open mics? Yes.
I guess I'm one of the performance poets. And ironically, you know, open mics gives you a chance to reach a bigger audience. But ironically, that's also one of the reasons I've kind of stepped away from doing open mics as much is because I feel like you're too, you know, it's not as big of an audience that you can reach through, like, I guess, shows like these radio shows or stuff you can put on YouTube and things of that nature. So I guess in my writing process, it just kind of evolved from, I used to just write in a little notepad and keep it to myself and then save stuff on a computer. And people probably about 5 to 10 years ago were like, you should get in these writing competitions. But all the competitions wanted you to have like 8 poems. And I used to always kind of be like, oh, I don't have really 8 poems. And people would be like, yeah, you do. You have like all these things stored up. And so from there, I kind of did a blog, and then it turned into the website. And then I got back into the open mics. And then from there, I was kind of like, I want, because at the open mics, it's only you behind the microphone every time. And I felt like I wanted my stories to be able to hit home. And that's why I encourage everybody listening to check out these videos, because I think it's one thing to hear a poet say it, but it's another thing to hear a poet say it and you actually see it.
Right.
And
right.
And actually that can be segue, if you don't mind, into the next one I wanted to share, which is called Free.
It's perfect.
And Free is from Poetically Correct Volume 1 also. And this is another one that I had a poem movie about. It's about a domestic violence one. And so quick shout out to Jeff Cool Keezy and Adriana. They helped on this one also. So this is Free. I'm sorry, you win. Don't worry, it won't happen again. I'm sorry, you win. Don't worry, it won't happen again. You deserve it. You're worthless. Yeah, he gave you that black eye on accident, but those flowers were on purpose. Some of the things that he used to say after it's over. You swear you in love and it's supposed to make you feel so good, but the truth is, it couldn't feel too much colder. They say love makes you do the craziest thing, like stay in an abusive relationship just because he gave you a ring. The promise is, yeah, but they outweighed by the hurt. The finer moments, yeah, but they outweighed by the dirt. Instead of coming home, the compliments, hugs, kisses, and constant laughs, you coming home, the negative wishes, curses, thrown objects, and broken glass. And you've seen his rage before, and you know it won't last. But he beat you bad, pretty bad the first time, and you justify this time by saying, well, it wasn't as bad as the last. It didn't hurt that much. I'll be all right. If I would have been acting better, then there wouldn't have been any fights. And that's the victim's response to a coward's behavior. Just when you thought man is supposed to protect the woman from danger. I mean, to have, hold, and keep, not to have, be bold, and beat. It's time to take a stand. Don't ever take any abuse from any man. Hard to free your mind and break those chains. You feeling like you've lost everything that you've ever gained. Who will you run to when you need love? Find a way to escape. There's so much more out there to your life. It's up to you to find a way to be great. But what's it gonna take for this relationship to break? Your arm, your nose, or even your neck. This wasn't the first time that it happened. Why do you want to wait around to see what's next? You're not supposed to be another one lost. You got to understand that his hands are only supposed to rub your body and caress your skin so soft. But that mentality, you can't be forced to see. And all of these possibilities you may never, ever get to see. All of these things you may never, ever get to be. If you stay in an abusive relationship and can't set yourself free, that mentality you can't be forced to see, and all of these possibilities you may never, ever get to see, all of these things you may never, ever get to be, if you stay in an abusive relationship and can't set yourself free. Set yourself free. The end.
What do you think is poetry's role in the modern society? What is the role of poetry in the modern society? What is it supposed to do?
I think it's supposed to still bring people together.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that I like to see it do more. And that's kind of, you know, what I was saying a little bit earlier through that poem, the meaning. Like, I think it's up to us as poets to to get into these topics and talk about the things nobody wants to talk about and to touch on these delicate topics and subjects. And, you know, that's one of the things that I want to start doing too, is like, you know, doing stuff on like hunger or the domestic violence or, you know, minorities in society or just it being hard to live in America and all the societal pressures you have on you and things of that nature. And so I definitely think it's up to us to lead that wave and to get that back, because I think the art of storytelling should never go away. And it's up to poets to stay on top of things, because stuff in society, as you know, Michael, is still happening every day.
Yes.
And if poetry is the only way we can get people to pay attention to it, or that'll be a way to get people to connect, then let's do it.
All right. Well, let's take a brief break, Aaron R., and we'll be right back. Back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and this is Quintessential Listening Poetry. The call-in number is 646-787-1631. I'm here tonight with Aaron R. He's enlightening us. He's sharing with us. He's building our spirits and our energy and our minds with different information, new information, hopefully not new information, but information that can be shared. And that's what's important. So, Aaron, please share another piece of your
work. Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. This next one I'm going to do, I think then this is, yeah. This next one I'm going to do is called Hocus Pocus, and this is going to be from Poetically Correct Volume 2. This is another one that I have a poem video about that features my main man, Turkish O, and my brother, J-Dub. Severe out there. So this is one that's about suicide, and this is another one that I kind of, you know, played with Michael because of it being such a delicate topic.
Yes.
And even in making this video, it was difficult to do because I think the video is very powerful. They did a great job in acting. But that's kind of, you know, what I'm saying, the route I want to go with my work is I'm not talking about these topics because it's something that's fun. I'm talking about them because too many people don't talk about them.
Yes,
and I think if I can make them, you know, some way creative that people can pay attention to it, maybe it will start further discussion about it. So, Hocus Pocus, this is about a suicidal poem. Man, I'm sick of this job and I don't want to go back because of my accent and I'm not fully American. I don't like that. Every day they got the little racist joke. So I complain to HR, and so far, every time I walk by, they act shy and never say hi when I spoke. I'm stuck in this awkward position, yet they're the ones who asked me to resign from my position. Only person placed on leave of absence from the other night. They said a racist joke, and I ended up getting into a fight. They don't take my complaint seriously anyway. Work, barely getting paid. Wife at home, but our schedule's so opposite, so barely in the same bed we lay. Kid acting up in school, so the principal calling like every day. Tried to do the counseling, but they say we make too much. Tried to find a private one, but our schedules don't match up. Work says I'm fired now, and I don't qualify for help until I start getting unemployment and stuff. Meanwhile, kid needs diapers. Car windshield needs new wipers. on the way home from an interview, I caught a flat tire. My wife don't believe I'm looking for work. She calling me a liar. What else will go wrong? What else won't go right? Glanced by myself in the mirror, didn't even recognize my sight. I've had enough. We all have to go sometime. I saved up tons for my family so they'll never have to spend a dime. And if you don't understand me, oh well, that's tough. That's your fault. It's not mine. But maybe if I disappear, maybe if I'm no longer here, maybe these problems will no longer appear. Walk by the mirror and my vision's blurry, but at the same time, it's crystal clear. I'm sorry, my dear, but as I've gotten older, I've gotten bolder, and I don't recognize the person looking back here. Shift my focus. I hate this person in the mirror. It's not me, so I barely notice. I want to disappear like Hocus Pocus, no magician. Sick and tired of the way that I've been living. Tired and sick of the way that I've been feeling. Looking in the mirror, my vision's blurry, but at the same time, it's looking clearer. I tried meds, tried to smoke and drink, but none of them worked. I'm just a piece of dirt, and I should just leave this earth. My best friend called me and told me on the phone to think about what my family's worth. He said that I'd be selfish. Well, I guess I was born alone, so you might as well call me a jerk. We all have to go sometime. I saved up tons for my family, so they'll never have to spend a dime. Take another sip and unwind. Let me just ease my mind. This decision is mine to put my life on the line. It's time. The end.
Wow. That, again, was a very powerful piece. People don't often think about mental health.
Yeah.
And we do live in a world currently that is extremely stressful.
Yes,
on a number
sir.
Of different fronts. And
yes,
finding
sir.
A way to vent, to get it out of your system, poetry can serve as that. It can serve
Absolutely.
As a way to release that pressure, that those feelings of frustration, anxiety. I really believe in that. I believe in the use of poetry in a number of different circles. I mean, to build empathy for others. So, again, that was very, very powerful, and it really touched me.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. And, yeah, man, and I'm 100% with you. And that's why I believe in, like, because,
yes.
you know, just reading that in the book without the emotions and all of that stuff is just, you know, it's great, but it's not the same, you know.
Right.
I think it's kind of
right.
like, you know, you get a book version of a movie, you read it in the book, but then you go to the actual movie and, you know, things are different than what you read them like. And that's my goal, too.
Right. Well, I've always believed that poetry is a lived experience, that if you wrote it, live it. And that's what's important. So please share another piece with us.
All right, I'm going to get away from the heavy stuff for
okay.
a second.
All right.
Get into something more calm and cool, I think.
Okay.
So this one is called My Perfect Girl. This is from Poetically Correct Volume 1, and also Poetically Correct Volume 1 is out now. Just a little quick plug, Michael. It's on iTunes, Amazon.com. You can get more information at AaronOnPoems.com. All right, cool. So, my perfect girl. Honestly, the type of girl who's meant for me, I mean, worthy enough to be called wifey. I like how she's not the type to use me, confuse me. And being out with her, everything runs smoothly. Start with her face. No makeup necessary. Born queen. Her looks hereditary. Type of girl that I want to marry. Spiritual, real caring and nice, definitely is the type I've been looking for my whole life. These cloudy nights, she can make bright. The type of eyes that'll catch you by surprise. She does sweet things and isn't scared to cry, never lies. With me and her, the sky's the limit, so together we fly. Together we ride all nights, rare arguments and fights. Body right, doesn't have to have the biggest chest. Or the biggest butt, she's got natural beauty, she can look better with less. Turns me on in any types of clothes. Looks so nice, her skin doesn't even have to be exposed. I love laughing, this girl is a trip. Love taking trips, kissing lips, holding hands, proud to be her man, understand. It's not all physical attraction. She's not lacking. Common sense, got it all. It's real evident that she's a dime and she's mine. Call her my star because the way that she shines. A rare pearl, plan to give her the world. To have, hold, and cherish forever, that'll be my perfect girl. The end.
All right. That's nice. You know, you've written a book poetically correct.
Right.
You've got a first volume and you're finishing up a second volume. Does knowing that your poems are published and out there in the world validate your being a poet, or are you content knowing that they're out of your system?
Great question. I'm not content. I'm definitely not content. And no. I mean, yes and no. Yes, it validates me as a poet. I think that's one of the things you said, right?
Yes.
And but no, having a book, I'm not content. And Poetically Correct 2, Volume 2 is already finished. It's just that now that so much is happening so fast, and turning some of these in Volume 1 into these poem films, and then I want to eventually release Volume 2 and do the same thing, as hopefully my brand can continue to grow. But
yes.
I have so much more. That's one thing that's, I think, that's frustrating with me as an artist is I can't multitask as an artist. So,
explain.
And this may sound weird, but bear with me here. But, like, one of the things is, as I'm turning a poem into, like, a film, I can't write other poems until that film is finished. Because all of my, or I won't allow myself to, because I guess I can always write poems whenever I want, but I won't allow my mind to take that creative space and energy and put it to something else when I'm trying to do a project.
All
so
right.
Now a lot of, so like even Hunger Pains, you know, that just kind of came out of the blue. And then as I was performing that and getting that ready for the event, it put everything else on pause. So now one of the reasons why I haven't released Poetically Correct Volume 2, even though it's done, is because I still have many more poems in Volume 1 that I want to turn into films. And I just can't put all of that into my mind to release another book when I'm not done with the first one. So in the midst of all of this, I have other things I've seen happening in the world that are just kind of built up or pent up in me that I haven't written in a little bit. So that's also the frustrating part, is because now since I'm trying to do these movies, it's hard for me to create. So, no, I'm not content because I have so much more that I have to let out and to let loose, and so many more things that are relevant that people haven't even had a chance to hear. So hopefully I'm just scratching the surface, and I can keep this going.
All right. One more question here. Poets tend to have favorite poets that they visit often. Can you suggest someone readers might enjoy checking out? Who are some of your favorite poets?
That's a good one, man.
That's why they paid me the big bucks, Aaron.
I see now. And that's the thing, like, I don't have another thing, like, I don't have any particular people that I definitely, like, go to listen to, per se,
mm-hmm.
or anybody that, you know, it can be certain random people that I have on Instagram that nobody's ever heard of or something like that, that can be different people. So I don't have like a certain person now that I follow. I could say though, like of all time, Tupac, I think, is somebody who I know is known for his rapping, but did a lot in the poetry world at a lot of different points too. So I think that's somebody I kind of tried to or related to a lot when I was growing up and when I was younger, and just kind of trying to study how he would come up with these different analogies and phrases and stuff like that. But now it can just be anybody. Sometimes I scroll through Instagram and I see somebody random that's at like an open mic night or doing something, and that'll spark me to want to do something. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. Let's take a brief break, and we'll be right back with Aaron R. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. This is Quintessential Listening Poetry, a different kind of poetry call-in show. We're here with our very special guest, Aaron R., and he has enlightened us a great deal tonight. Aaron, do you have a couple more pieces before we close out?
Yeah, I do. I do, Michael.
All right.
This is another one that I have a poem video out about. It's called Love's Fugitive. Part of this is called The Walk from Poetically Correct Volume 1. One of the first things she said was she was scared to get so close. I remember thinking back like, you're doing the most, let's just go with the flow. Well, I suppose, looking back, perhaps we should have used our minds and listened, but instead our hearts spoke. It wasn't that we were cold, just a lot of heartbreak and disappointment, so she'd rather stay alone. She would say it's best to break things off early, because as time goes on, the disappointment seeds have grown. And there's nobody to blame, because when you point one finger, three point back at the direction that they came. She's the type of girl that you dream. I need her on my team. When you see her, you definitely know what I mean. Definitely a queen, and I have to be a king. Together, nothing matters because she's my everything. Forget a diamond ring, I'd give her everything, even the world. Still get butterflies when I look into her eyes, like a young boy who has a crush on his first girl. Never thought I'd fall like leaves in the fall. Other women come and go, but I'm leaving them all. We go together like a sports player and a ball. And if I don't have that, then I guess I just don't have anything at all. I stood very tall as our relationship grew. There really wasn't much that she couldn't help me get through. It was her that I was so into, that I looked up to. And when we weren't together, I didn't really know what to do. Pure bliss, how I reminisce. Never thought I'd be feeling like this. Remember our first kiss. Promise that I saw sparks, holding hands in the dark, countless conversations during walks in the park, twinkle in her eyes like the stars in the sky, not just my ride or die, because together we could fly. Wasn't that good in math, but she makes me feel whole, so I guess you could say that she's my other half. I feel like I have to try to make things work, do whatever it takes for whatever it's worth. Love can be beautiful, but man, love can hurt. One of the last things she said was, we're getting too close. I remember thinking, you're doing the most. What's wrong with us being close? She said, I just can't. I have to let this go. Then came the day we said some things we shouldn't say. She left suddenly with tears rolling down her face. Something inside me said, chase. The other said, stay. I was confused, so I stayed in my place, while she quickened her pace. And from my life, love walked away. The end.
Right. You know, your speaking voice is very distinct. What is the relationship between your speaking voice and your written voice? What's the relationship between the two?
I think the main thing is just being able to emphasize certain things. I think that, you know, like we were saying a little bit earlier, just the way of articulating things are a lot different, you know, in speaking and writing things. So I think my speaking voice to be able to have like more of the emphasis on words that I'm saying, you know, and I think like even in that last one, just to go back, like Never Thought I'd Fall, like Leaves in the Fall, I think like reading that people might miss out on, you know, how you would say it, you know, just to emphasize the whole fall thing, like one would be in like physically falling, the other being like the season changing. So that's what I like to do with my speaking voice.
Now, in terms of your visual poetry, you have a background in film?
No, none at all. And it's funny too. Shout out to my parents and all the family listening. But my dad teases me all the time because he says he can't believe I had the patience to, like, film and record and edit and stuff because I never had that, you know, growing up. And I never had any idea, you know. It's just, I guess, just God's blessings or God's plan or way. But I never had any experience with recording anything. And it really started out with me asking a friend, and my friend wanted to charge me to do it. And I'm like, what? I'm not paying you. So so then I just kind of went with it. And you know, everybody, I encourage y'all, you know, if you like what you heard, to look at some of these on my website, AaronRPoems.com, because I think the films are more powerful. And I think I'm getting better at recording them or coming up with more ideas, but the editing process takes forever. I don't think I would ever do this for anybody else's stuff, but I think for mine, since it's, you know, my work, I can really dig into it and actually get it to a way that I want people to read my poetry, and I want them to feel it when they actually see the film.
How long does it take to complete a film?
I would say the recording part probably would take me maybe 2 to 3 hours, but the editing part can take about 15, 18 hours. So just depending on how quickly I want to work, that can turn into, when I first started it, I was trying to like stay up all night to do them. But now I space it out. So it can probably be about a week if I spend a few hours on it a day.
All right.
But
you know,
yeah,
as
you
we
have
close,
to check it out. Let me know what you think.
I will do so. I plan to tonight after this show. Let me ask you this one last question. Where do you go from here with your writing and your poetry?
Well, I think the next step is to, there's probably like four more poems from Poetically Correct Volume 1 that I want to turn into short films or movies. And then I think after I finish that, hopefully I'll be ready to let out Poetically Correct Volume 2. And in the meantime, I'm just staying open to, you know, poetry competitions. I had a good friend of mine who was writing for, you know, one of the social justice books, Deepa Patel out there. So I was able to do some poetry for that book. So I'm open to doing poetry for other people. So I'm open to anything, but in terms of Poetically Correct, that's what I want to do. I want to let out these other poem movies, and then I want to drop Poetically Correct Volume 2, and then I will also do poetry movies from that book also. So a lot of work to get done, but I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, I'm excited to be part of it too, just in terms of rooting you on. You're very talented,
man.
And I want to thank you for spending time with us tonight.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Michael, for all you do, man. It's been a pleasure. I'm grateful and humbled, and it's been an honor to be on the show with you. So thank you so much.
Oh, anytime. And I'd like you to come back. So just
awesome.
Keep that in mind.
Do.
In 2019, I'd like you to come back.
All
well,
right,
everyone. All right. Well, everyone, we've reached the end of another journey. Be safe out there. Be careful out there. And vote tomorrow. You've got to vote. You've got to vote. All right, everyone. Good night. This is Michael Anthony Ingram, Quintessential Listening Poetry. Good night.